This morning, just to kind of set the scene, but then there's going to be an invitation for people to come forward and share testimonies of what God is doing in your life. And we have this Jesus up on the wall there, because our theme over this next little season is Jesus, who he is, what he's done, the wonderful things that we can say about him, the worship we can give to him. So it's a reminder that our testimonies are pointing towards Jesus, pointing towards his goodness, his greatness, and making him the very center of the story. I was led to John chapter 9 earlier in the week. And in John chapter 9, it's a story, quite a famous story, I guess, if you've been around church for any length of time, of a guy who's born blind, and he's begging, and Jesus comes by and he heals him. And this man can see. It's an absolute miracle. Praise God. And the Pharisees find out about this, and they call him forward, and they ask him, what happened to you? And he says, well, I was blind, but I can now see. And they start to question how it happened, and they want to know all the details. I think he's a bit cheeky, but he says this in verse 25. He says, and asking, is Jesus, this guy who healed you, he must be a sinner. And he says, well, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. He says, I don't know. Look, you can ask me about all the details, all the things. I don't know about that. This is the thing I know. This is the thing that I know. Jesus healed me. I was blind, and now I can see. And a little later on, They kick him out of the synagogue because they say, you're a sinner. They kick him out. And it says, Jesus, in verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and he goes to look for him. It says, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man said, tell me that I might believe in him. And Jesus says, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one who is speaking to you. The man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped Jesus. You have now seen him. He couldn't have said that a few hours earlier because the man was blind. Jesus opens his eyes so that he can see Jesus, and as he sees him, he worships him. And I just thought it was a helpful little reminder in when we bring testimonies, we don't need to exaggerate them or make them bigger than they are. We don't need to add lots of things in. This man's simple testimony, he said, look, there's a whole load of things I don't know, but this is what I do know. I was blind and now I can see. He keeps it really simple. He doesn't add in loads of stuff. He doesn't hype it up to make it more than it is. He just says, hey, I was blind and now I can see. This is what I know. And then he gives Jesus all the glory and he ends up worshipping Jesus. So just a helpful reminder, I felt, that when we do bring testimonies, we make Jesus number one, we make him the very center of the story, not ourselves. And we say simply, what's happened to us? What's Jesus done for us? So hopefully I've given enough, a little bit of a preamble there to get rid of some nerves, to have people to think a little bit. And we're going to have a few short testimonies. We're going to be doing baptisms. We're going to get the children in about 20, 25 minutes, something like that. So we're looking for a few people who might be brave enough to say, I want to tell you what Jesus has done for me. I want to tell you about how he saved me, how he provided for me, directed me, led me. So who is going to be brave and come up first? It's always one of those moments where at the end, we have a queue of about 10 people. We have to say, no, sorry, you can't come up. We've run out of time. At the start, no one wants to come up. But we'll wait for people to come.
You know I'm going to do this. Yeah, I told Ben I wasn't going to do this. But anyway, a lot of you know that I was that man 9 years ago. Jesus opened my eyes. But my brother, who's 13 years older than me, so he's 84, 85 nearly, was in hospital last week having an operation on his bladder and prostate. And on Friday, when he was coming round from that operation, he had a stroke. And his son phoned me on the Saturday and said that I'm struggling because his mum, so my brother's wife, has had a brain tumour, so she can't drive. And so Jamie was ferrying his mum to the hospital in High Wycombe. So I said I'd go over Saturday morning and sit with him and give his mum a lift home, give him a bit of relief. Anyway, so I sat with Steve on Saturday. I'd never seen anyone who'd had a stroke. I've seen it on the telly, but it was frightening for me, to be honest. He couldn't speak, and he was paralysed down one side. Excuse me. And so I sat with him on Saturday, and then Sunday I didn't go. Selfishly, I went off and played golf on Sunday. But I was praying about him all the time. Monday, I went back to the hospital to do the same thing. Help Mary Rose, his wife, comfort her, whatever. But while I was sitting there, she went off to get me a cup of tea, and I sat with Steve, who was mumbling, he couldn't speak properly. I felt a bit bad because I pulled the curtains around him. He was in a ward of four people, and to be frank, the other three people looked like they'd already passed away. They were laying there still with their mouths open. It was just a shocking place to be, and Steve was a bit like that. And somehow, or something, well, I know who it was, made me get up. And, excuse me, I put my hand on my brother's head, and I prayed over him and said, Jesus, please remove this clot from his brain and make him well again. And then I went and sat down, and Mary Rose came and said, why have you got the curtains around him? I said, I just didn't want the other people to see him like this. And she said, oh, okay. And she spoke to him, and she said to him, what's the matter? Because he had tears rolling down his face. I'd seen those tears when I was praying over him, but I didn't really take much notice of them. But she said, why are you crying? And not clearly, but clearly enough to understand, he said, my brother's just blessed me. He's a non-believer, as are all my family, and as I was up until 9 years ago. And anyway, I went back to see him on the Monday, and with Mary Rose, I waited with her till, I don't know, about 6 o'clock. No, sorry, this was on Monday. So I stayed there with him until about 6 o'clock when the consultant came round and said that he's a lot better than what he was when he came in, and that they hoped that they'd be able to discharge him on Saturday, which was yesterday. But on Tuesday, again, I was selfishly playing golf on Tuesday, and as I drove away, I saw that I had a message on my phone, and it was from my brother. And he typed, I'm feeling very strong, and I'm fit enough to walk. And they told me that I can go home tomorrow. And he did. He went home on Tuesday. He's not out of it. He's got a lot of problems, but he's at home.
Okay, wait here, Pete. We're gonna pray for Steve. Yeah. Let's all just pray together for Steve and for Mary Rose. Let's pray for his healing, but let's also pray for salvation. Let's pray together. Let's raise our voices. Just as we've heard, Lord Jesus, you opened Peter's eyes at an older age. Lord, we want to pray the same over Steve. Lord, heal his body, but heal his soul. Older age. And we pray for an end to his selfish golf playing. And who's next? I promise I won't ridicule you in the same way.
Sorry, I'm emotional now as well. So this happened to me a few months ago, actually, and this is about me. It wasn't me praying for anybody else, but... So I'd been to High Wycombe to look after our grandson and was coming home. And you know when you come off the A404 and you go up the Pinkney's Road, it's quite a bendy road. So I'm driving along there and I hear a voice and it says, stop, stop the car. And so I ignored it and a bit freaked out by hearing a voice in the car because there was nobody else with me. So I carried on and I'm thinking, well, anyway, I couldn't stop because it's a really bendy road. It's a bit dangerous. So I heard it again and it just said, stop the car. And unbelievably, I ignored it again, carried on a bit more. But by this time, I'd been looking behind me, so no one knew there was nothing behind me. And then I just heard it a third time and it was like really urgent and said, stop the car now. And I just stopped. And just milliseconds after I'd stopped, I was near a bend and a lorry came hurtling round on the wrong side of the road. And if I'd have carried on, I wouldn't be here now because that would have hit me. And I think I told Stuart about this and I said, why didn't I stop the first time? And, you know, he was sort of saying about Samuel when God called him and it took the third time. But I just wanted to share that with you because it was, yeah, it was amazing. And I know for a fact I wouldn't be here now if I hadn't have stopped that car. And, yeah, so thank you, God, for that.
Yeah, glory to God.
Yeah.
Good morning. Steve, married to my beautiful wife, Esther, in the corner. A couple of weeks ago, I was, as you do, going to bed, and we had a disagreement and an argument, and this doesn't normally happen. The next part doesn't normally happen. So Esther left the room and went to sleep in another room for the night, and I was convicted. I was like, I'm not going to bed tonight like this. I jumped out of bed, totally like not by my own strength. I went downstairs and I apologized, even though I was right, obviously. No, I apologized genuinely, wholeheartedly for whatever it was, doesn't really matter. No, genuinely, and I said to her, again, I don't believe these were my words. I said, I'm not leaving this room until you walk out in front of me. Because we're not meant to be apart, and we're meant to be together in peace and love. And it was so powerful. So she forgave me, and we went to bed, I thought that was the rest of it, but it was the next day which I woke up, and that was the power that had worked in my heart. The Lord used me that morning, and I was able to share from a place of honesty and vulnerability and not being, fake. I was actually being real with myself the previous night to say, I can't then stand in front of my friends and family at church to say, I've got it all together. I've got to humble myself and take away the pride and submit to the Father. And I think the testimony really was the breakthrough that came through from me saying sorry and actually not being okay with it not being okay. And I love you, babe, and I'm really looking forward to the continued adventure we've got as a couple. Thank you.
So as you all know, well, some of you might know, I went to Ghana a few months ago and I was a volunteer teacher. And when I was out there, we went one weekend, we were meant to go on safari and we visited a village. And this village was very, very poor. It was a village of mud huts. And they don't have access to clean water. And I met this little girl, her name's Dari, and her wrists were about this thin, and she was so beautiful, and she came up to me and she jumped on me, and just, she was so cuddly and amazing. And I broke down in front of her. I was so upset for her, and I, you know, I gave everything that I had at the time. But for weeks afterwards, I just couldn't get her little eyes out of my head. And 2 weeks, I think later, 2 or 3 weeks later, I sent the other volunteers back to the village. I couldn't go back, but I sent them with a picture of her. And to be honest, I really didn't think they'd find her. It's, you know, quite a big village. And she was the first child they saw when they went into the village. And they gave me, they got her parents' numbers from that, or their contact details. And then I started fundraising, and God had broken my heart on so many issues there. There were so many things I wanted to fundraise for. And I got this money, and I was trying to think of all the things I could use it with. And I crunched all the numbers, and I really wanted to support this little girl, but I just couldn't afford it. I just didn't have the funds. So I put the money towards a community near me, and I put it towards my school kids and a few other little projects. And I'd worked so hard, I'd worked all the numbers out, and then I bought all the things, and I literally, by a miracle, I don't know how it added up, but I had about £100 left, well, £130, which was the exact amount needed to buy shoes for that whole community and to sponsor that little girl's education. Wow. And that was completely by God, because the numbers just don't add up. Yeah.
Wonderful. Amazing.
Good morning, church. I'm here to testify the goodness of God upon my life. My name is Margaret Okpala, and I'm from Nigeria. I'm here to testify the goodness of God upon my life.
Amen.
I've been here for the past 2 years, and I stayed in the hotel for 2 good years, seeking for asylum. And I was asking God, please show me where I will worship you. But it was so difficult. Even when I communicate with my people, they say, look for church. That is the people that can help you. After 2 years, among all my friends and other people within us there, I was granted refugee status, 5 years, me and my daughter. And I was still begging God, please, direct me to the right path. The very first day, they gave me food voucher. They gave me Jubilee Community Church, and I came here. So they first served me with coffee and cake. After which, they gave me full bag of food, different things. And they told me, whatever you don't want, take it off. Check the table, whatever you want, you pick. I did as they said. I saw love, and I left. The next week, when they wanted to give me food voucher, I told them, please give me Jubilee Community Church. And they gave me. From that first day, I stepped into this place. I saw love. But I didn't know that God had reasons for that.
Yes.
I continued coming for a food voucher. A day came. This sister talked to me with Sister Jewel. I told them I've been given refugee status, but I don't know where they're going to put me. They asked me, come, let's see you, our branches in the church. This is for children, this is for teenagers, this is for the adults. They took me around the building and asked me, would you want to come to our church on Sunday? I said, yes, I'm interested. And that Sunday, Sister Inga,
yeah.
She promised to come and pick me. As she came to the hotel to pick me and my daughter, we came to church. The service was very, very awesome. I said, God, my spirit really moved in this church. And I continued coming. But I was like, since they put people where they want, I told council, can you put me in Maidenhead? They said no when I was given an eviction letter. Sister Jewel, and this sister, Sophie, and Inga, they said, let's pray together. There's nothing God cannot do.
Amen.
We pray together. I must not fail to mention brother that always send the cab that will come and pick Mandy from the hotel, bring her, after which he will be communicating me. When they bring her back, he will ask me, has she entered? The love was too much, honestly. After praying, the day the council gave us shelter, oh my God. They were telling me it might be hotel. I said, God, I don't want to go back to hotel after spending 2 years in the hotel. How will I go back to hotel again? I want house. And God did it. The very day I went to the council for the house, 26th of March, they said, I don't know, this is the only thing we have. I was there early. They said they don't give Windsor to people. But this is the only thing we have. 2-bedroom flats. We have no option than to give it to you.
In Windsor?
Yes.
In Windsor.
I say God.
Royal Windsor.
God gave us that house. The lady was like, what kind of God do you serve? You are so lucky. You are going to Windsor Royal Yard. I said, from hotel to Royal Yard. Where I will use key to tap on the gate will open. I will move to my own house, my own 2-bedroom flat. Oh God.
Amen.
God did all this.
Mm.
It's not even the end.
No.
The congregation began to show me love. Sister Joy, God will bless you.
Yes.
What do you want? What and what? I have nothing. Only blender I was using to blend banana and orange for me and my daughter to take because the food in the hotel was not okay. I lost much of weight. That was the only thing I took there with my clothes. But today, I have my own microwave. I have plates. I have bed. I have bed sheets. I have everything. Sister Joy will come inside. She said, let me look at your kitchen. I'm just viewing my kitchen, how my kitchen looks like. I think you need this. What else? What else? Even, oh God, I don't know. She has been texting me. Margaret, tell me what you want. Last Sunday, I was not able to come because of West Men. They have been asking, what do you want? I am short of words. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to end this testimony. But God is too much.
Amen.
The distance is not far for me. My joy is that from where I'm staying, I can enter bus from Windsor direct to here. £2. Me and my daughter, £4. I can come to the service. No loopholes. To God be the glory.
Amen. Let me pray.
To you be all the glory. To you be all the honor. To you, Jesus, be all the glory and adoration forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
I've told people in the hotel, come.
Amen.
Come
Amen.
To Jubilee Church, you will see me. And I'm happy that I'm coming today. brethren, praise the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Margaret's life, in Mandy's life, Lord. I thank you that she is a daughter of the Lord Most High. She is seated with Christ in heavenly places. I thank you for your anointing on this lady. I thank you for your calling on her life. I thank you have good plans for her. As you restore everything that the enemy has stolen from her and her family, I pray you lift her up. Lift her up. Restore to her everything that the enemy has stolen. All the years that the locust has eaten, Father, we pray you restore into hers and Mandy's life in Jesus' name. Amen. Cause her to shine brightly like a star for you. Amen. Father, I thank you for this amazing work that you're doing in her life and in her life and her family back home in Nigeria too, Lord. We pray for them. We pray for your protection over them. We pray, Lord, that you continue the good work. You continue, Father, and we give you praise and glory, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives, and in the house of the Lord should be our dwelling place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Thank you.
I love our Jubilee family. I love our Jubilee family. I remember many years ago, I actually shared something about sin in my own life. I serve and I lead the team here, so I was a pastor. And somebody at the end of the service came to me and said to me, "I'm so disappointed in you." They were upset by the fact that I'd been vulnerable about the fact that I'm a sinner. I don't rejoice in being a sinner, but I rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior who forgives us of our sin and who grows us and become more like Jesus. Can't remember who said it. None of us come here with it all together. I want to say it this morning because I know there are visitors with us. Some of the testimonies that you've heard this morning are about people being real about the situations. Takes a huge amount of guts for a couple who love each other and who married, and their marriage is a beautiful thing and their kids are a beautiful thing, to come up and say to everybody, "We were going to sleep in separate rooms." That's a gutsy thing. But the story was beautiful because it was about somebody humbling themselves before God and before other people and being real. We need to be real. It's in that place of being real in community that God moves and does beautiful things. We don't come to healing and fullness on our own. We come in community. And so it's really important to find safe places. We can't share everything publicly every time, but we need places where we can go to people and we can be really ruthlessly vulnerable so those people can walk with us and God to a place of healing and wholeness. That's what you've witnessed just a touch of this morning. It's a beautiful thing. It's actually strength, not weakness. Tears are tears not of weakness, they're tears of gratitude towards God. Like that man, my eyes have been open. I see Jesus. I think it's so beautiful. Just that short preach, Ben, was beautiful. Just his eyes were physically open, but he saw something spiritually. God, move amongst us, we pray. Thanks, Ben.